Now, I should mention at this point that since 1987, there has been one additional cause of AIDS that's added to this list, unfortunately, and it's again a consequence of the way that the fact that we're blaming AIDS on a virus that apparently has nothing to do with the disease at all. And that is the treatment, the primary treatment is AZT or azathioprine. It's an old revived cancer chemotherapy developed originally in the 1960s. It's a particularly effective one, more so than others, and was so toxic that was not approved even for leukemia treatment at that time when they were using some fairly stiff drugs. But AZT was not approved. It was pulled off the shelf in 1986 for reapproval for treatment of AIDS to attack, the idea was it would attack the AIDS virus or HIV. Which of course is gone in people who are, you know, HIV positive. They only have antibodies left. And then we have other people who've never even been infected. So what virus are you attacking? There's no virus to attack. But anyway, it was revived as an antiviral. And as I mentioned to you, cancer chemotherapies, which kill dividing cells and in cancer patients will destroy the immune systems. Many of these patients develop, pneumocystis carinii, pneumonia, and other AIDS-like diseases. And here we are reviving a cancer chemotherapy, and a particularly toxic one, for use in AIDS. So how did this happen? Well, it didn't meet the normal FDA testing requirements. The answer was that the pharmaceutical companies and the federal government were paying the various AIDS activist organizations to go out and protest for quick release of AZT. Thus, the FDA now had an excuse to bypass the normal testing requirements. The animal studies were not done. The human studies were cut short and inadequate. The cell culture studies were flubbed and not really carefully followed through on. And so, in fact, everything was bypassed. The drug was rushed to approval on an emergency basis and made available. Since that time, the three other major AIDS drugs, DDI, DDC, D4T, all of them exactly in the same category of failed cancer chemotherapies as AZT. These drugs now are all approved for AIDS treatment. Primarily, it's still AZT. In the meantime, the long-term, hardcore, large-scale studies, the 3-year studies involving hundreds and thousands of people, are now showing that those people who take AZT are not only not any better off, but in general, it's pretty clear, even with obscuring the data in these papers, it's pretty clear those taking AZT are getting sick sooner and worse and dying of AIDS sooner than people who don't take AZT. Since 1987, it has been approved for treatment of AIDS, meaning it's accelerating the AIDS deaths of people, and since 1990, for the prevention of AIDS in otherwise healthy HIV-positive people. We believe this was the clear reason for the death of Arthur Ashe, the former tennis player who was HIV-positive for a number of years and had no significant problems other than his pre-existing heart condition. But 4 years of AZT in the last 10 months, combination AZT-DDI, his immune system wasted and pneumonia, and he died. Same with the girl in Florida who supposedly got AIDS from her dentist, Kimberly Brigalis, who apparently the virus didn't even come from the dentist. But for that matter, we don't know if she might have had the virus pretty much all her life, maybe from birth. No one has investigated that. Centers for Disease Control wanted people to believe that it was a dentist-to-patient transmission to help get some legislation passed through Congress at the time. The publicity generated public fear and did get the legislation passed. And so everyone today believes that a dentist gave AIDS to a patient. But the dentist was a fast-lane male homosexual, apparently using all the drugs, dying with Kaposi's sarcoma. Kimberly Brigalis had no problems until she began taking AZT. At that point, she developed a serious yeast infection, oral candidiasis. Then she began developing opportunistic skin infections. She began getting pneumonias recurring. She began wasting away. And within somewhere between 1 and 2 years, she was in a wheelchair and then dead. Classic cancer chemotherapy patient, classic AIDS patient, call it what you will, we think she died of the treatment AZT. Currently, nearly 200,000 people worldwide are using AZT or these other drugs on a prescribed by doctors every day. And we believe this is causing and certainly preventing the curing of many AIDS cases. The last thing I'll simply say about this is that the only long-term AIDS survivors we have ever known, we have ever seen documented anywhere, every one of them avoids these treatments, AZT, the other three drugs. Also, I would avoid Epivir, the new drug that has come out. It's a protease inhibitor. It's a different category of drug, but believe you me, it'll hurt your pancreas. It may hurt your liver. It's going to be bad for you in any case, and it won't help because it's supposed to attack a virus that isn't even there anymore. So how can it possibly help? And very expensive, and made by the same company that brought you AZT, Burroughs Wellcome. Now, and it was also rushed through on fast-track approval without the proper testing. But the long-term survivors are people who don't take AZT and don't take these drugs. They get off the drugs, all the other drugs, the poppers, the cocaine, quaaludes, heroin, whatever. And they start eating normal meals. And then they'll credit some of their recovery to various diets and herbs and vitamins and so forth. I don't know about that sort of thing, but I will say that by straightening up their act, that many of them are long-term survivors alive even today, 10 years or more after an initial diagnosis of full-blown AIDS. So this is how you survive.